Welcome back to the Clear Admit MBA Admissions Podcast. I'm your host, Graham Richmond, and today I am joined by Shelley Heinrich from the Georgetown McDonough School of Business. And I wanted to mention that this podcast was actually produced in conjunction with the McDonough School of Business at Georgetown University, and that we're going to talk today about location. So Shelley, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on, and we're going to, you know, try and unpack this issue of like where someone should go to business school, not in terms of just the program, but also the geographic kind of location. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to partner with ClearAdmit over the last few years, and we're excited for the podcast today.
Yeah, and I should, just in case our listeners don't know you, I should mention that, Shelley, you've got over 13 years of experience. You did a bachelor's in business administration, and you also have a master's in education from UT Austin. And I know you've been at Georgetown for several years now. I think it's over 5 years. In admissions. Is there anything that, like, maybe you could just share a little bit about your background with our listeners in terms of, you know, how you got into this role and why higher ed and why Georgetown?
Wonderful. Yeah. So, you know, I've had experience in corporate, nonprofit, and higher education sectors. But as I've gone throughout my career, you know, I've really found passion in working in education. I truly believe that education has the ability to transform people's careers and lives. And so it's a rewarding place to work. And, you know, I found an institution that I truly believe in and truly follow the leadership and mission. So much so that after I was working here for 2 years at Georgetown, I decided to pursue the executive MBA because I had, you know, as the saying goes, I had drank the Kool-Aid here at Georgetown and really enjoyed my experience. You know, we're talking about location and we'll certainly be talking about Washington, D.C., but I'm originally from Texas. So, you know, I grew up in Texas, undergrad and grad school, and lived there for my early part of my years. I've also lived in New York and North Carolina, but over the last 10 years, have lived in DC. And so that's my perspective that I'm coming from, you know, experiencing DC as a young adult starting out and then now having lived here for 10 years.
Yeah. And that's a great perspective. I think it's good that you've kind of moved around. I also think it's really rare that, you know, someone working in admissions has actually completed the MBA program. I mean, sometimes you see it. There are some schools where the director of admissions has the MBA from the school, but, you know, it's not so common. And so I think it's great in the sense that not only can you speak about what we're going to talk about today in terms of location and, you know, where a business school sits geographically from the perspective of an admissions professional, but you've also, you know, kind of completed an MBA in the market you're in. So this will be fun. I did want to talk about, it seems to me that there are a lot of ways that we can think about location. So, there's a location like while you're studying. So the campus environment and its environs, you know, the kind of nearby surroundings. There's, you know, what happens when you leave the campus and what sort of learning opportunities are outside of the classroom. Maybe there's, you know, the opportunities for internships or even job hunting and even while working in the long term. So there are a lot of ways to think about location. Do you have any thoughts on that? I mean, I obviously, you know, there's a difference between being in kind of an urban center versus a more rural location, and it sort of has different impact, you know, depending on what the candidate is looking for. But do you have any thoughts about those different lenses through which we can view location?
Yeah, definitely. And I think location is so key when you're doing a professional degree like an MBA. Because a lot of your learning is not just from the classes, it's from your access to employers and your access to alumni and your access to speakers and recruiters. And so being in Washington, D.C., you know, it's great because, you know, we have significant alumni up and down the East Coast that are easily accessible. So you can theoretically go to class and then set up coffee chat with an alum here in D.C. or hop on a quick train, you know, to Philadelphia, New York, Boston. And so you're not having to spend, you know, days in flights getting to cities where the alum are. You know, when we have our employer days that happen, we have career days every Friday in the fall, you know, consulting day or finance day or technology day. And alumni are easily able to come and represent their companies because they're located here. Or they're located within a short train ride. And so it really adds to the value of your education because we're not isolated, right? We're in the nation's capital. I think what's great, though, is that, you know, we are on Georgetown University's campus. We're a business school amongst the enclosed campus within DC. So you kind of get the best of both worlds. So you get the great campus feel, and then you're just a few blocks from the hustle and bustle of, you know, M Street and Arlington and Tyson's, where a lot of the new headquarters of these major companies are, but also just, you know, a few metro stops away from NGOs and nonprofits and the government.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think it's interesting how there are some, quote, urban, you know, campuses that are truly still give you, like you said, the best of both worlds, like Georgetown, you know, and there are others. But then there are others that there are other schools that are just sort of more like right in the city and it's less of a campus vibe. So I think that is true that you guys kind of have the best of both worlds there. I think Penn is another one that has a pretty nice kind of isolated campus and a large campus. But yeah, so there are different flavors of that. Now, it's funny because when we talk with MBA applicants, there is some stereotyping that happens with respect to regions or cities being hotspots for specific fields. So you hear people talk about, you know, oh, New York for finance or Texas for energy, or even, you know, like maybe the Midwest or Chicago for, you know, consumer products and maybe marketing. And you've got, you know, all these different kind of hotspots, obviously the Silicon Valley for technology. And you know, even DC, right? We talk about DC sometimes as being a place where there's a lot of politics and policy. But should any of that be taken with a grain of salt? Because obviously, in my experience, this can matter. You know, if you want to work in media and entertainment, maybe LA is a good place or New York. But I think sometimes candidates maybe put too much stock in that, and that it needs to be taken with a grain of salt, and or at minimum, people need to look at placement statistics. So, what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think for schools maybe that are more regional schools, maybe that plays in. But for a top school, you know, for any top business school, they're sending graduates to the top companies, the Fortune 100 and 500 companies. And that's just the same, you know, with McDonough. In fact, when we look at where our alumni are located, they're located up and down the East Coast of the major cities, on the West Coast, you know, in Chicago, you know, in Houston and Dallas, and then globally as well. I could list the cities globally that they're located. So our students go to where the top companies are hiring and are located. And, you know, how we coach our graduates when they ask us, you know, where should we go? We say, look, if you provide no barriers to an employer, then your options are going to be greater, right? If you go to an employer and say, I only want to be located in Chicago or, you know, San Francisco, then obviously your options may be a little bit smaller. And then certainly if you say, I'm only going to be working in this city, then. So, you know, I think when you're working or when you're going to a top program like Georgetown and others, you know, then the cities and options are endless. I would say that, you know, DC has become such a mix and intersection of all of the sectors, right? So for-profit, nonprofit, NGO. I mean, if you look at the headquarters that are here, Capital One, Nestle, Hilton, Marriott, obviously Amazon, and then nonprofits and NGOs. So you really get exposure to a lot of the different sectors, which is great because a lot of students come into business school thinking they want to do one thing. But through diversity of exposure, they realize that there are other options out there. And I think DC provides that diversity of exposure.
So, yeah, it's funny. So let's talk a little bit more about McDonough and DC, because, you know, as I said earlier, like DC has this reputation as being, you know, a hotbed of policy and politics. And, you know, as you said, like almost every NGO or government contractor or public sector facing businesses, they're all set up in and around the city. And yet, you know, there are other companies too, like Capital One and Amazon and, you know, Hilton. So there's this intersection, like you say. Can you talk a little bit about the placement stats for McDonough graduates? So you mentioned people are going to big cities and Fortune 100 companies. But I mean, I think if memory serves, the stats show that, you know, most or more students certainly go into consulting and finance and tech than they do into kind of policy or government related roles. But do you have any sort of stats that you could cite on that?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. So I do get that question from prospective students, and it's a common misconception. So when you look at the employment stats from the class of 2018, we're about to publish our 2019 stats. But so if you go back to 2018, but even years prior, you know, consulting is the top industry, followed by financial services, each over 20%, followed by technology, close to 20%. You know, and those going into nonprofit and social impact in 2018 was only 8%. And to be honest, in 2019, it's gone down closer to 2%. And so, you know, we are a traditional business school placing people in the traditional business fields. You know, however, the nonprofit placement rate of 8% is frankly larger than some other schools. And so, you know, for students interested in going into that, Georgetown still is a great option. But just know that most of our students are going into the traditional business fields.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And I guess the other thing I wanted to ask you about is like how Washington, D.C. has evolved over the past 10 or 15 years, because it seems to me, and I don't, you know, I don't live there, but I've, you know, been there a number of times, but I haven't, don't live there, but I've felt like there's kind of an increasing presence of, you know, startups and, you know, you hear about these companies like Amazon moving their, you know, or opening headquarters there in the case of Amazon. And you mentioned some of the others, Hilton, et cetera. So, has there been an evolution? Like, am I like just, has this been the case all, you know, all along and I've just missed it? Or is it true that this is kind of a more recent thing where a lot of these big companies have come in or the tech startup scene has really blossomed? And if so, if that has happened, like what has that meant for McDonough and, you know, the school's relationship with, you know, local companies?
Definitely. I would say that the tech scene, the entrepreneurship scene, even the real estate scene, have just expanded drastically over even the 10 years that I've been here. You know, in terms of technology, the way that we're responding to that is, you know, we've launched Hoyalytics, which is a student organization focused on analytics. We've launched a certificate in consumer analytics. We're hosting an annual case competition in technology and innovation, which IBM hosts. You know, 10 years ago, there wasn't even a tech club or an entrepreneurship or VC club. And this year, the tech club won MBA Student Organization of the Year. You know, we have Georgetown alumni at a lot of DC ventures like EverFi, you know, SiriusXM, Blue Venture Investors, AquaCore, Y Hotel, Social Tables. I mean, the list goes on and on. And I think, you know, specifically when you focus in on entrepreneurship, our entrepreneurship initiative, it's grown tremendously. So, you know, we now have a venture fellows program where students can gain both academic credit as well as a stipend for interning with a venture capital investment or venture capital firm. Georgetown has won first place. I'll brag a little bit. Georgetown has won first place 4 of the last 6 years in the venture capital investment competition, where we compete with the other top business schools. And students love participating in that because they get into the minds of a venture capitalist firm, a VC firm. So even if they don't plan on working in VC, they understand how to pitch to investors and they understand how to get into the mind of investors. And then, you know, we've recently partnered with WeWork. We have an actual venture lab, incubator workspace for Georgetown community startups. And so they're able to use the space and the resources to start their companies. I could continue, but...
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about, I mean, is there an anecdote or two that you could speak to in terms of the ways that, you know, the students at McDonough are benefiting from the school's location? You know, whether it's in tech or entrepreneurship or even policy or NGO work, like what are some of the things that students are doing that get them into the community and companies that are nearby?
Definitely. So we leverage DC as a learning lab. So our program is very experiential. Yes, you go to class, but we really charge our students and provide opportunities for our students to get out and actually do real world experiences. So, for example, last year we launched a brand new leadership course called Managing the Enterprise. It's required of all of our first year MBA students. And instead of just listening to lectures about leadership, our students actually consulted and solved projects for the DC metro system. So if you've ever come to DC, love the metro system, but you know, as it, with any organization, there's challenges. And so our students solved various scopes of work for the metro system and presented it. And that was the class. And so, you know, we've leveraged that. We have design thinking courses or electives where our students have worked with various embassies, the Netherlands embassy, the Japanese embassy, to solve, again, scopes of work issues for them. And then, you know, we have a course called the World Bank Project, World Bank Group Projects, where students earn academic credit, and then they solve projects for the World Bank Group. And we've worked with over 110 students on 35 separate projects at the IFC World Bank Group. And so these are just a few ways that we're leveraging the organizations in DC to provide learning labs for our students.
I don't have the exact timeline, but I know, so Amazon has said they're opening up this second headquarters, right? And is that, like, what do you think the impact of that is going to be? Not, I mean, obviously it'll have an impact on DC writ large, but what do you think the impact might be for McDonough as being, you know, the premier business school in the market that Amazon's settling in?
Definitely. Well, we have a great history in placing students at Amazon. They've been a top employer in recent years of people going out to Seattle. And so, you know, as they ramp up their HQ2, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see. I mean, Amazon was on campus actually this past week for a two-day conversations with our students about, you know, different opportunities at Amazon. And so I think we'll see as they start to ramp up additional opportunities. The Amazon Web Services is already here in Herndon, Virginia, and we do have alumni working there. So we're excited both that, but all the other tech companies that will be attracted to DC because of their recent location here.
Yeah, that's fair. Could you one of the things I'm thinking about as we have this discussion is just that we often, at ClearAdmit at least, we often talk with candidates and there's this emphasis on, oh, if you want to work in the U.S., go to an MBA program in the U.S., you know, or if you want to work in the U.K., go to business school there, you know. So there is this emphasis on geography and location. And, you know, I once read somewhere that, you know, a lot of alums live within 5 hours of the school that they graduated from, right? So what I'm kind of hearing here is that, you know, it pays to dig a little deeper because sometimes people, you know, make these stereotypes, as I said earlier, about certain markets being for certain things. And I think the point that you made earlier about, you know, a top business school is a top business school and is going to place people at top companies. And but I think it's an interesting balance. Like, I do encourage people to really look into, you know, what are the placement opportunities? And so, for example, when is your 2019 report coming out? Will that be out in time for people to kind of get a look, you know, during this admissions cycle?
Definitely. It's going to print now. And we expect actually probably in the next couple of weeks for there to be the official release. And we're, you know, really excited at the results. I mean, we have a great economy happening here, you know, in the U.S. now. And so it's a great time to be in business school because your options, you know, you have multiple options to think about coming out of school. And yeah, I mean, I think it's ultimately up to students where they want to go. I think, you know, people, there's a phrase, if you've ever lived or worked in DC, there's a phrase called Potomac fever. And I have a lot of prospective students who interned in DC or, you know, have visited here for a while and they have this, you know, Potomac fever and want to come back. And so while our students are located around the world, I think you find that DC is a wonderful place to live. I mean, it is a great blend of your, you know, personal life and professional life and just intellectually enriching of all the museums and speakers. And so, you know, originally I obviously said I'm from Texas and I certainly love my Texas roots, but I love DC. It is just a great place to be. So I encourage people to come and visit and you'll see what I mean.
Yeah. And I've been on campus and the building, which is still relatively new, at least to me, is really fantastic. So the facilities are great and it's nestled in that large, you know, Georgetown University campus, right in the heart of it actually, which is pretty impressive. You know, I think we kind of touched on this, but I just wanted to see what you had to say. Like, we talked about how, at least in the past, you know, McDonough could have been pigeonholed as, you know, it's in D.C. and people think of politics and policy with respect to D.C. And I think we've spoken a great deal today about all the other things that are happening in D.C. and the placement stats that prove out that, you know, you're not really putting everyone into policy jobs or something. But, you know, you've had to probably battle some of that, like, pigeonholing, right, when you're at an MBA fair or, you know, you're meeting people maybe who don't know as much about D.C. or the school. And how have you approached that? Like, what's your, because I guess you don't want to turn someone off who maybe has an interest in that sector. But how do you typically approach, you know, someone kind of saying, oh, is this school, you know, I don't want to work in the public sector. So is it not for me, you know, or something?
Right. Definitely. So, I love to provide examples, because we talk about being at the intersection of business and policy. And sometimes that's hard, like sometimes you have to explain what that means. And I did the MBA program here. And so I can explain a little bit of what it means. You know, when you go through an MBA program, or frankly, in whatever job you're working in right now, I'm sure have come to realize that you can't just know how, you know, to balance, you know, an accounting statement or to develop a marketing plan. You have to wear multiple hats and understand how the business is run in inside of the society and policy in which it's located. So for example, I took a supply chain class from Professor Ferdos, and we talked about Zara. Everyone's familiar with Zara, the fashion retailer, and certainly they're a for-profit company. However, you know, what was different a little bit about Georgetown is we dug into the way that Zara impacts and is impacted by society. So they source their clothing from third world countries, and they have a duty, perhaps, to make sure they're paying living and fair wages. And what are those living and fair wages? And they also have a duty to make sure that the factories in which their suppliers' employees are safe. And it would, you know, if Zara didn't think about that, you know, they wouldn't be thinking about their entire business or about society. And so they have to think about it. And if something were to happen, it would ultimately impact the bottom line. If something negative were to happen to those employees or the factories, it would impact the bottom line. A couple of other examples of where business and policy come together is, you know, for example, Amazon and their decision to choose Arlington and then New York, and then their decision not to choose New York. That is clearly, I'm sure that the state of New York and the city of New York and Amazon were in a lot of conversations, as was the city of Arlington. And right there is the intersection of business and policy happening for Amazon. And then, you know, lastly, I believe recently, you know, Uber was told by the city of New York that they had to limit the number of Uber drivers in New York. And so, again, there is the intersection of business and Uber and policy of New York coming together. And so as a business student graduating today, you need to understand at least how to navigate those areas. You're not going to be writing policy in our business school. I mean, this is not a public policy program. We do have a great one, McCourt, but you're just going to be learning how to understand it so that you are well equipped to lead your company in those tough conversations. And so I think that's what we mean by intersection of business and policy. And I hope that makes a little sense.
Yeah, no, that's great. I think one of the things that I think of is you guys sort of have a front row seat for business leaders. I mean, we read about this in the news like daily. There's some Senate committee hearing with, you know, Facebook or Google. And, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes I wonder whether, you know, Mark Zuckerberg or some of these folks would have benefited from taking some classes in, you know, business and policy and business and society, because it seems like very often companies are running afoul of, you know, kind of policy, or they're just kind of butting heads with the government and haven't, you know, taken the time to sort of figure this stuff out. And then they, you know, obviously they do so after the fact and have to kind of do a mea culpa and get everything in line. But you guys are on the front row, have kind of front row seats to all that. And so I would assume that's great, you know, lessons in the classroom. I also think, yeah, it's interesting that you guys looked at Zara in the supply chain class. That company is fascinating, not only because they're dealing with, you know, the supply chain where that really originates in the developing world, but also I just remember reading an article about them where from an operations standpoint, they're incredibly adept at getting merchandise into stores and having that merchandise constantly rotate so that whenever someone goes in, it feels like, you know, they always have something new to see. So Zara is an interesting company, a good one, you know, to have studied in class. But I feel like, yeah, there's, it sounds like, you know, I feel like most business schools do have at least a part of or a course on kind of policy and, you know, government and business and things like that. But I guess it sounds to me like because of your location, you have this opportunity to really bring it home, you know, in the sense that, you know, it's not just something you're studying in a textbook, but you can literally, you know, see these companies come in and out of DC as they talk with the government, you know, at the national level, or obviously in some cases, you know, like you said, Amazon dealing with New York City or something. But so that's really interesting. And I think, you know, every school should try to benefit from its location. And I feel like that sounds like it's something that's definitely happening at McDonough.
Yeah, I mean, I remember back to one of my professors in economics, Professor Miller, you know, he actually, you know, in addition to being professor, he testifies with the DOJ on merger and acquisitions, right? Because if a company is looking to do an M&A, they do so in conjunction with, you know, the policies of the government. And so for him to be able to bring that experience back to the classroom is fantastic. I mean, when I did business school when Brexit was happening, and we were really able to dig deep into what that meant for companies. You know, if you're a company in the EU or even outside of the EU doing business with the EU, what does Brexit mean? I mean, again, intersection of business and policy. I mean, you know, so I think we were able to dig pretty deep on those, you know, very important business topics and situations. And again, due to experience of, I think, our professors and our location.
So one last thing I wanted to ask you, a little off the cuff here, but I'm just curious to know, you know, I think of DC as, you know, being a place for, you know, politics, but also entrepreneurship and technology and, you know, as we've discussed. But one of the interesting things about DC for me is that every 4 or sometimes 8 years, you have a kind of change in government, right? And well, in some cases, every 2 years, if we're talking about, you know, obviously there's lots of kind of people coming in and kind of in and out, right? So there's, and there can be pretty dramatic changes, right? So when you go from like, you know, the Obama administration to the Trump administration or something. So does that have any impact on, you know, just kind of the vibrancy or the kind of, yeah, just the experience that students would have at a place like McDonough?
You know, it's interesting. DC, yes, has the U.S. government, but we also have 176 embassies and multilateral organizations and, you know, NGOs here. And so I think no matter the administration, you just feel the energy of being in a city that attracts young professionals that come with a lot of professional drive. And they come with great aspirations to change the world and to work on issues that are important to them. And so, you know, it's an exciting place to be because there's always world leaders that are here speaking or hosting events and engagements. And if you want to participate in those outside of the classroom, I mean, it's just an added, I think, element to being and living in DC. And so, you know, I think people that are coming to business school, they're coming here to go into business fields. So there, I wouldn't say that there is people that are necessarily interested in you know, political careers that are coming to McDonough. I mean, again, if you were going into the McCourt School of Public Policy or the Walsh School of Foreign Service, maybe. But what I would say is it's exciting to just be at the center of this energy. And it's changing all the time.
That makes sense, yeah. So I think what we've learned today from this discussion is that location matters, but that, you know, people need to peel back that initial stereotyping that may exist, you know, like we said, in terms of, you know, DC being much more than like a policy place, right? So so I think it sounds to me like McDonough's location is a pretty tremendous asset. You guys have, you know, access to so much that's going on. And, you know, I instantly thought of McDonough when I read the news a while back about Amazon, you know, setting up headquarters number 2 in that area. So yeah, it sounds like a lot of great things are happening. I did have to ask you kind of one sort of personal question, given that we're in the throes of the kind of baseball playoffs. So I wondered, like, you mentioned you're from Texas, but you've been in DC for quite some time, 10 years now. So I kind of wanted to know, you know, are you kind of rooting for the Nationals or the Astros? Because both could end up facing each other in the World Series.
I know, right? You know, really, I have to say, when it comes to sports, I do have my roots in Texas football. So I think you grow up in Texas, you know, you grow up being bred to watch Texas football. So, you know, I think that's where I think that's where a little bit of my allegiance lie, although I am a huge Caps fan. So you can often find our family in Arlington watching the Caps practice. We have many, many, many hockey pucks signed in our house from various Caps fans. So, you know, I will have to say my allegiances are more with Texas football and then the Washington Caps.
Okay, got it. All right, so that's good. So not too much baseball. So if they do end up facing head-to-head in the World Series, it won't be too much of a dilemma for you. So I wanted to thank you for taking part in this discussion today. I'm sure that our listeners will get a lot out of, like, thinking through this issue of location. We always hear, you know, with real estate, people say location, 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 you know, and so I think people need to, when it comes to business school, location matters, but do your homework, look at the placement stats, understand that any great business school, whether it's McDonough or, you know, any of the other top programs, are placing people, as you said, kind of across the U.S. and the globe with top companies. And so it's more about, you know, digging in and seeing what the environment is like, what's the campus like, what's the city and its surroundings like in terms of opportunities. And it does feel to me from this discussion like, you know, McDonough is doing a great job of kind of, as you said, keeping DC as a kind of learning laboratory for students. So yeah, really appreciate your time today. And yeah, thanks for making time to speak about this.
Thanks so much. Always appreciate partnering with ClearMet and appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Well, for our listeners, please continue to listen, but obviously subscribe if you can on iTunes, rate this podcast. We always appreciate getting reviews. And we're now available on Google Play, on Stitcher, Spotify. You can find this podcast pretty much anywhere. So please keep listening and tell your prospective MBA student friends all about it. Thanks, everyone. We'll be back soon with another episode.